From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. State health officials reported Wednesday that four more Alaskans died of COVID-19 recently. One is a Juneau woman in her 60s who died early Tuesday morning. The other three are Anchorage residents, including two men, one in his 80s and the other in his 70s. A woman in her 20s also died. So far, 64 Alaskans have died since the beginning of the pandemic. In addition to the people who died, 144 more people were diagnosed with COVID-19 infections by Tuesday, including one non-resident. Most of them are from the Anchorage area, where 102 residents tested positive, but there are more than a dozen from the Fairbanks, North Star borough, and scattered around 15 other communities in the state. The state's positivity rate, that's the percentage of all coronavirus tests performed that are positive, is at about 4.5% for the last week. That can be a measure of how fast the virus is spreading. State and federal health officials have said that anything over 5% can indicate that the virus is spreading undetected and that communities may need to do more testing. And while that's the state's average, and while the state's average is below that threshold, some individual regions are well above it. State data shows that the Dillingham census area has a positivity rate of more than 16%, while the North Slope and Denali boroughs and the Yukon-Koyukuk census area are all above 11%. Medical officials also reported Wednesday that 56 people in the state are currently in the hospital being treated with COVID-19 or are waiting on test results. A staff member at Blatchley Middle School in Sitka has tested positive for the coronavirus. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry has more.
The city of Sitka reported the new case on Tuesday. The man is in his 60s and did not have symptoms when he took a test on October 8th, according to city data. Contact tracing is complete and the case is marked as community spread, which means the man had no known contact with someone who had the virus. Sitka School District Education Director Chris Varon confirmed the new case as a staff member at Blatchley. He said the district sent a letter to the parents of Blatchley Middle School students Tuesday afternoon notifying them of the case. He also said the district is following recommendations from public health officials, and Varon and Superintendent John Holst worked with public health contact tracers to determine close contacts of the staff member. Factors like ventilation, masking, and the amount of time spent in close contact with the staff member all played a role. Those determined as close contacts are quarantining and being tested. Classes at Blatchley are continuing to meet in person as described in the district's Smart Start plan. This latest case brings Sitka's cumulative case count to 72, 54 resident cases and 18 non-resident cases. All but one case are marked as recovered on the city's dashboard. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
Raven Alaska says it could resume scheduled flights between Anchorage and Unalaska in 2 weeks. But there's at least one hurdle left to overcome. KUCB's Hope McKinney reports from the tarmac.
Visibility is 10 with light rain. You're ceiling 4,000 broken. Overcast 6,000 now. Temperature 7, dew point 1, altimeter 29038. Good to hear you back on the radio.
Great temperature, ma'am.
On Friday, for the first time since Raven Air Group filed for bankruptcy earlier this year, a de Havilland Dash 8 airplane landed on Tom Madsen Airport's short runway. The appearance of a Raven-branded aircraft could be a sign that regular commercial flights between Anchorage and Unalaska are on the horizon. Aboard the aircraft was a 9-person delegation of Raven executives and FAA officials. Rob McKinney, CEO of Raven Alaska, was among them. He leads the company that bought Raven Air Group's core assets in the wake of its sudden bankruptcy.
We've invited the Federal Aviation Administration to fly with us out here to Unalaska, to, you know, probably one of our more challenging destinations, to make sure that they're comfortable and happy and can see that we are offering a safe service to the flying public.
It was a dry run to test the Aleutian route before giving the embattled airline the go-ahead to resume scheduled air service. McKinney says he originally hoped to relaunch operations in mid-August. But due to a number of hurdles getting FAA and DOT approvals in place, the airline shifted the timeline to mid-September and eventually continued pushing the relaunch back. But this week, the FAA granted permission for the airline to finally begin flying charter flights. And the DOT issued what's called a show cause order, which opens a 14-day window for anyone to show cause for the DOT not to find the air carrier fit, willing, and able to provide scheduled air service. The FAA declined a request for comment. While regulators take public input during the two-week window, McKinney says larger companies will be welcome to charter the 37-seat Dash 8 aircraft round trip from Anchorage to Unalaska.
So we'll be able to at least hopefully start moving fishermen out here and get prepped for the next season coming. So that's something. It's not all that we'd hope for, but it's at least a little bit of service to get the community back connected.
McKinney says Raven has planes and flight crews ready to go, and the airline could start serving places like Unalaska in just 2 weeks if no formal objections are lodged during the 14-day window. The airline hasn't published ticket prices. McKinney says Raven is working to code share with Alaska Airlines to allow customers to purchase tickets through Alaska Airlines' mileage program.
I talk with Alaska Airlines about every week, and they're eager to start working with us. But they too are, to make sure that safety is what it needs to be. So they're going to come in and do their own audit of everything that we do, fly on our flights. And then, when they're ready, they will give us the blessing. But they've said it's their intention in the future that they are going to repartner with Raven.
McKinney says the initial plan is to fly Dash 8 planes between Anchorage and Unalaska. Eventually, he says they hope to use larger aircraft, but he ruled out deploying a Saab 2000, the model involved in a fatal plane crash that killed one passenger and injured more than a dozen others on Unalaska's runway last year. Reporting in Unalaska, I'm Hope McKinney.
And now to elections. The final votes have been tallied for the municipal elections in Haines and Skagway. As Henry Leisha with KHNS reports, a mayor was unseated in Haines and several newcomers took seats on the borough assembly.
Four seats on the Haynesboro Assembly were up for election this October. Assembly members Zepherson Cerny and Stephanie Scott chose not to seek re-election, while Assembly members Brenda Josephson and Jerry Lapp campaigned to keep their seats. After the final ballots were counted at an election canvass on Tuesday, newcomers Cheryl Stickler, Katie Kirby, and Carol Tyneman were elected to the Assembly, and Jerry Lapp retained his seat. In the election for Haynesboro mayor, local grocery and sporting goods store owner Douglas Olrude unseated Mayor Jan Hill, who just completed her second consecutive term and her fourth term in total. Lydia Andreessen, Tiffany DeWitt, Brian Clay, and Anne-Marie Palmieri were elected to the Haynesboro School Board in an uncontested race. Voters also approved a proposition to make a one-time $450,000 draw from the borough's permanent fund to help cover operating expenses. The ballot measure was proposed by Assemblymember Zepherson Cerny after the borough lost funding from the state to help pay off a bond used to construct the local school. Across the Lynn Canal and Skagway, municipal elections were held for two seats on the borough assembly and the local school board. Assemblymember Dan Henry ran for re-election, while Assemblymember David Brenna decided to leave the assembly at the end of his term. Skagway voters elected Rebecca Hilton and Samuel Bass to fill their seats. Kilipaki Harris, Denise Sager, and Jason Verhaeghe ran for two open seats on the school board in Skagway. Voters elected Sager and Verhaeghe. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
And we have a correction to a story that aired last Thursday about the preliminary election results in Gustavus. We previously listed Jim Wagner as the winning candidate for City Council seat D. He was not a candidate in that race and did not win a seat on the City Council. John Gerald Buchheit won the seat. Apologies for that. And officials say eligible Alaska residents receiving unemployment checks from the state are expected to get a $300 increase to their weekly payments beginning next week. The Anchorage Daily News reported Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy approved the increase in August to replace a $600 increase from Congress that ended in July. That increase will be paid from a federal disaster relief fund for unemployment aid to counter the economic blow of the coronavirus pandemic. The increased payments will be retroactive to July 31st. Alaska has traditionally paid about $250 in weekly unemployment benefits. About 12% of the state's workforce will receive the payments. And state transportation officials are holding a virtual meeting at 5:30 this evening to talk about safety improvements to the highway intersection near Juneau's Fred Meyer. You can participate live through a web browser, by phone, text, or email, and other details are available at ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.